Welcome back to the second hour of Leading Edge Medicine. Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umeb. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine, while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. And now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umeb, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
Hi there, good morning, and welcome back to hour number two of Leading Edge Medicine. My name is Lynette. Here, along with Dr. Jerry Mixon, Dr. Umeb has the weekend off. Okay, so before the break, we were talking with Bob from Rainier about those clogged arteries.
Yes.
And his A1C, his blood sugar numbers as well. Right, Bob?
Yeah. Well, yeah. A couple of things with Bob. He's talking about his severe atherosclerosis and the stenosis in his heart. I presume since they put in stents, he's talking about arterial stenosis, not a valvular stenosis.
They did the valve too.
They did the valve too. So, okay, so you had both an aortic valve, I'm going to guess then. That's the most common one, more common than mitral.
Yes.
Okay, so aortic valve and then
mitral.
Yeah, and then arterial stenosis. And that just tells me that you've got a lot of atherosclerotic disease. Your arteries are tightening down. You're getting plaque laid down in them. You said you're on Farxiga, which is a drug used for type 2 diabetes. Type 1 diabetes and kidney disease. So it's designed to lower your blood sugars, lower your hemoglobin A1C, help correct your insulin resistance. And in doing so, hopefully, slow the progress of your atherosclerosis. So,
Doc?
Yeah.
It has a horrible side effect. It lowers the fluid retention in my body, which is wonderful because that is a major problem. I'm on 80 in the morning, 80 in the afternoon, and now I'm on 80 in the morning, 40 in the afternoon, and I'm ready to go to just 80 in the morning. I mean, it's
okay,
a
good
miracle, frankly.
Yeah. It's lowering your blood sugars very nicely, it sounds like. And it's a good drug. You know, because it's a new one, it's a little pricey, but it's one of the few drugs around that actually not only improves your diabetes, but helps protect you against chronic kidney disease. And kidney disease is very common in diabetics. So, you've already got heart disease. You don't need kidney disease on top. So on balance, it sounds to me like you're on a good regimen. What do you weigh?
Currently, I'm about 195 pounds.
And you're how tall?
I am probably 5'10" and a half. However, I'm very muscular.
All right. Sounds good.
Above the waist.
All right. So you're actually not grossly overweight. I like that. Yeah. On balance, then.
Not grossly, no.
No. What you're going to need to do is to try to open up those arteries a bit. You know, you've got a cardiologist. Yes. He's got your stent in. He's working with your valvular disease. That's all good. I want you to either get online with Amazon or go to your favorite bookstore and buy a book by a Dr. Dean Ornish, O-R-N-I-S-H, Ornish, Dr. Dean Ornish. And he's got a book called Reversing Heart Disease.
Oh, great.
I want you to read that book, and I want you to start following his diet carefully, all right?
Okay.
And there's a very good chance that if you'll follow his program carefully over the course of the next year and a half to 2 years, you'll probably find that that arterial disease you're suffering from will improve.
Oh, my God, that'd be great.
Okay. Yeah. He's the only person I know that's got a program that actually has been shown in objective studies to open up plugged arteries. So Dr. Dean Ornish, Reversing Heart Disease, read it, follow it, okay?
Okay, boy, that is absolutely super. I can't tell you, the fluid retention in my legs, my thighs and my calves, wow, I mean, this
makes
crazy
a difference.
Drug.
Yep.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Well, yes. I mean, yeah. I'm having to go backwards on all of my regimens.
And that's good.
It is amazing.
Yep.
I really recommend
it. Yeah. Yeah. It's a very good drug.
It unless
I wish,
you
I,
have.
Yeah, I wish it was a little cheaper.
Yeah.
It's a good drug.
Yes.
All right, sir. We got to move on to the next call, but thank you.
We got to grab our next caller, okay?
Thank you for the call, sir. Bye-bye.
You're listening to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon. Dr. UMAT is off today. By the way, you can catch Dr. Samira UMAT's program, Beautiful You, every Saturday right here on KVI at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, okay? 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So there you go. Somebody was calling in wanting to know that. So I wanted to make sure they have the information. Now, if you are wanting to get in today, we are live in the studio. Phone lines are wide open for you. 888-312-5757. That's 888-312-5757. Going now to Bellevue, we have Dale calling in on the line. Thank you for waiting, Dale. Good morning.
Hello, Dale.
Hi. Yeah, I'm calling relative to my son-in-law, who lives in Phoenix, and he's recently been diagnosed with gout, and I have no idea. I've heard of it, but I don't even know what it is. I know he's been been prescribed pain relievers, and he told me he doesn't want to take them because he thinks it interferes with how he might be able to take other nutritional supplements to somehow correct the situation. The thing that he's found the most useful lately has been he's tried dark cherry juice, drinking that, and he seems to get some relief from it. Well, I'm interested in your analysis.
Okay. Well, first of all, gout is a disease of purine metabolism. The purines are genetic materials are compounds that are produced from metabolizing the genetic materials in mostly meats, high protein foods. And so, gout means that you cannot convert uric acid into urea very efficiently. So uric acid is produced from metabolizing proteins, and the uric acid forms crystals in your joints that cause intense pain and inflammation and swelling. So gout used to be a disease of the rich because only rich people could afford meat. Poor people subsisted on vegetables and simple carbs. Now everybody can afford a high-protein diet. And so especially if he's trying to work out and be fit, he's probably taking more protein in his diet than he really needs. There are some drugs we can use to affect the gout. Something like allopurinol is very good. Allopurinol allows you to convert the uric acid to urea in your kidneys and dump it in your urine. So that's a big help. Lots of people are on chronic allopurinol just taking it every day of their lives, and then they can eat pretty much what they want. If you don't want to go on the drug, you need to go on a low purine, low protein diet. And yes, the tart cherry juice does help. There are chemicals in the tart cherry juice that allow you to help convert the urea or uric acid to urea, but not as effectively as the medication would. So,
okay, that sounds. Now the other thing, he lives in Phoenix, and don't you reproduce your program on? I'm wondering if there isn't some way he could call in and hear your analysis on the program itself. Is that possible?
Yeah, if he goes to our website, lmclinic.com. And usually by Tuesday, the Saturday show is on there as a podcast, and you can just download it and listen to it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that I could actually have him hear me talking to you. That's
yes.
crazy.
Yes.
Isn't that amazing
yep.
with technology, doesn't it seem?
Yes, it is.
Great. Yeah, I'll get this information to him, and I appreciate very much
you're welcome, sir.
The analysis.
Okay, take care.
Thank you, Dale.
Yeah.
Here's that number to call. We would love to have you to be part of our program today on Leading Edge Medicine, 888-312-5757. Boy, a lot of different topics. Today we have talked a little bit about politics, that new sleep product from Relief Factor, estrogen creams, hormones, testosterone, and gout. Yes, and room for your question as well. We're going to take a quick break, then we'll be back with more with you. 888-312-5757. That's 888-312-5757. Back with more Leading Edge Medicine in just a moment.
Hey, my wife and I are patients of yours for probably 12 years or so. I really appreciate all you guys do. We really do. Comes from my wife, too, because she just loves Dr. Umat. You know, they talk about everything. But thank you very much, and you guys have a great weekend.
I fall to pieces each time I see you again.
And we don't want you to fall to pieces, right, no. Dr. Mixon?
Especially don't want those pieces falling off in the street.
No, absolutely not. No. Which is why we're here every Saturday morning from 10 to noon with Leading Edge Medicine.
Yep. Stronger, faster, leaner, smarter, sexier, and happier.
Yes, you do not have to fall to pieces just because you're getting older. You can be better. You can be stronger. And like Dr. Mixon said, faster, leaner, smarter, sexier, which makes you
happier.
Yes. All right. We're taking your calls at 888-312-5757. That's 888-312-5757. We have Duna on the line in Seattle.
Duna. I like that name.
I do too.
I've never heard it before.
Good morning, Duna.
Hello, Duna.
Hello there. Hello.
Hello. You're on the air.
And I'm on the air with you on the radio all the time. Well, Dr. Nixon, I need to know what the difference or which one solution is better, 5-HTP or Selexa and Zoloft?
It depends. A lot depends. And since you're asking about these, I'm presuming there's a depression problem.
Mild, nothing that would be more of concern, you know.
Okay. Well, it sounds like it must be of some concern or you wouldn't be asking the question. So
not a major concern, I mean. Okay. You know, not that
right.
I should be prescribed with a heavy medicine.
Okay. If it's mild, then I would stay away from the Zoloft and, you know, all of, yeah. Those drugs are for people with significant depressive disorders, and they have some significant adverse effects.
Yeah.
Although,
I was on Selexa, and I couldn't fall asleep. It was really, you know, doing bad for my sleep rest.
Yes, that's true.
Okay, sweet. Okay.
So let's start with things that might help depression without getting to the heavy medications, okay?
Okay.
First of all, I want you to make sure that you have adequate vitamin D in your system.
I am doing that, yes, okay.
Mm-hmm. So I want your 25-hydroxyvitamin D level to be somewhere between 60 and 90, or 60 and 100,
okay.
That range.
Okay, I'm in 40-something.
Okay. So okay. you can come a little higher for that.
Okay.
Using melatonin at bedtime will often make you more cheerful in the daytime.
Yes, I do that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Make sure you have adequate levels of the B vitamins. So if get a good B complex. So you've got plenty of B3 and B9 in there, because those will often help.
B3 and B9. Gosh, mm-hmm. Never heard of.
And then your omega-3 fatty acids. You want plenty of omega-3s in your diet. And if if you don't eat enough fatty fish, then you need to take an omega-3 supplement. Okay. Uh-huh. Vitamin C may help modestly. And then physical activity. Do not stay indoors, especially as the winter is coming on. Bundle up nice and warm.
We walk. Yeah.
Okay.
Very good.
Now you might want to get a.
The only thing you're gonna is advise me to get a boyfriend or a new husband.
One of each. Sure, one of each. That always helps too. Absolutely.
That's the best remedy. Listening to you. Yeah.
You got it. No, I have. Yeah. I have long been a believer that too much is not enough. So, you know, we should live our lives.
Too much hurts you, too, you know.
That's true. But I believe in living my life full speed ahead with a big smile on my face and singing out loud.
Oh, my God. So, were you born that way or your medicine keeps you that way?
I think I was born that way, but I think that, you know, now that I'm in my mid-70s, it's the medicine's keeping me that way. Because I have all of my values I keep in the range of a healthy 25-year-old, and that means that I sometimes act inappropriately for my age.
No,
but that's okay.
No.
I don't mind.
No. Yes. But it's a due to your young wife too. Okay,
that's right.
Yes.
Well, of course.
Hey, yeah.
And my high hormone levels are part of why I have that young wife.
That's right.
So. Well, maybe she should get on the show too sometimes.
That's right. Well, you know, I've tried to talk her into it, but she's afraid that her accent might put people off.
Look at my accent. And
I love your accent.
I'm not afraid of her accent. You know. Because she does have an interesting accent, because she's Chinese.
Yeah.
But she lived in Sweden for many years. And she learned her first version of English was a British version.
Oh.
So she has this Chinese, Swedish, British, English accent.
I believe so. She does. Yeah, but that's cute, too. People tell me my accent is cute. So
I like it.
Yes, it is. I do, too.
I think it's adorable. So
thank you, Tuna.
Okay, just a minute. So do I stay with 5-HTP?
5-HTP is useful for a lot of people, yes. So don't stop it, but make sure you get all those other things going.
Yes.
It's as many positive things as you can, okay?
Perfect. Thanks for your time. And listen, right. I never miss the day to listen, okay?
Oh, thank you, Duna.
Thank you, dear.
And you too, specialist feet girl, okay?
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Duna's our new best friend. I love
that. That's right.
All right. Leading Edge Medicine, my name is Lynette, here with Dr. Jerry Mixon, and our phone lines are open for you. We'd love to hear your call. 888-312-5757 is that number to get right through. Right now, we're going to take Jerome's call. Jerome is in Shoreline. Hi, Jerome.
Hello.
Hello, Jerome.
I'll try to be as cute as the last caller.
Yeah, right.
Okay. No, thank you. Thank you very much, doctor, for still offering the free exam, first initial exam. I took up on it, and it was a evaluation. I much appreciate it.
Well, good.
Very good.
Keep it up. Keep it up. I know that's how you get some potential patients. Maybe
that
I'll
is
be
indeed.
A full-time patient in the future.
Well, I hope so.
My question
Wonderful.
Is, my question is the product ASEA that came out a few years ago, I understand it's a $1 billion industry, and I read up some, you know, just as a person who wanted to get more healthy, I read up on it a little bit, and apparently it restores cells. And I heard you on the earlier hour of the show today that something about brain cells, and it kind of sparked my question. I've been wanting to ask you this for a while. Do you, in your opinion, does ASEA, the product ASEA, restore also brain cells?
I have not seen any studies to indicate that it does or doesn't. So I can't, you know, I don't want to just guess. And that's all it would be.
Okay.
Okay.
Short answer,
now there,
short question.
If you want to get your brain cells cooking, several things you want to do, okay? First thing is you want to get the neurotransmitters in your brain up where they should be. And that is the estrogen, the progesterone, the pregnenolone, the dehydroepiandrosterone, and the testosterone. Those things are all critical for brain function. The other thing you want to do is to decrease the senescent cell load in your body. Because decreasing...
And you said no, Adam, you got to buy it separately.
I have no idea what...
We've got somebody else talking
in the
background.
Yeah. But the anti-senescent cell therapy allows your brain cells to grow. But the biggest single thing is brain-derived neurotropic factors need to get kicked into high gear. And the single best way to build brain-derived neurotropic factors is working muscle. The more muscle you've got, and the more intensely and more frequently that muscle is worked, the higher your brain-derived neurotrophic factors will be, and the better job you'll do of growing new brain cells. So that's better than any supplement you can buy.
10-4, good buddy.
All right.
All
take
right.
care, sir. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much, Jerome. The phone number to get through today, 888-312-5757. That's 888-312-5757. I love that Jerome said thank you for having those free health analysis appointments still available. So he got in, and hopefully we'll see him here
hopefully,
at Longevity.
Well, yeah, he's already done the study or the, uh-huh. the studies. Now what he has to do is get off the dime, become a patient,
yes.
and let us really turn his life around.
There you go. Make a big difference. Mm-hmm. Once you know what's going on and why you're feeling the way you do and why you're slower, why you're weaker, why you're forgetting things or what was that? I walked yeah. into this room. You know, those types of things. We kind of joke as a senior moment, but you know what? It's nothing to joke about.
It really isn't. Those senior moments tell me that your brain is losing capacity.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we want to turn around. And the earlier we work on it, the better job we'll do. Because if you wait till things are far down the road, you can't repair. It's so much easier to prevent troubles than it is to fix them.
Mm.
And if we're going to fix troubles, we want to fix them while they're as mild as possible, because the fixes are a lot more practical then.
That makes so much sense. Get in for your free health analysis appointment with Longevity Medical Clinics. We have three. There's got to be one close by to you, Linwood, Tacoma, or in Kirkland. We even have Saturday hours so that we can get you in on the weekend and some extended evening hours, too, at the clinic. Find out more and make your appointment by calling 866-86-YOUNG. That's 866-86-YOUNG, or go to our website, lmclinic.com. That's lmclinic.com. And check out all the things that Longevity has to offer. Several podcasts are available for you. If you click on podcast, you'll see that each program, each live program that we do every weekend is then turned into a podcast, so you can rehear that on your radio or whenever you can, just whenever your schedule will allow it. Simply go to lmclinic.com. That's also where you can sign up for that free health analysis appointment. We want to see you stronger,
faster, leaner, smarter, and sexier as we get into this brand new year. Won't you call us? 866-86-YOUNG. That's 866-86-YOUNG, or go online, lmclinic.com. We're going to take a quick break right here, but we'll be back with Michael from Burien in just a moment, and your calls, too. This is Leading Edge Medicine. Stay right there.
I would like to thank you for having this program and for having your longevity program. If I listen on the radio, I always learn something, and it keeps me on the straight and narrow. I think, boy, I need to take some more responsibility for myself.
Mr. Sandman, make him the cutest that I've ever seen.
Bum, 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 bum.
Give him two lips like roses and clover.
Bum, 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 bum.
And tell him that his lonesome nights are over.
I love the bum bum bums.
Yes.
So fun. It, yes. Oh, what a fun song. Perfect day for it, too. Welcome back to Leading Edge Medicine, taking your phone calls about what is going on in your health, in your body. And we want to see how you're doing. If you've got questions, maybe a recent diagnosis, we would love to talk with you. The phone lines are open, 888-312-5757. Michael from Burien on the line now. Good morning, Michael.
Yes, good morning. That was a nice song you had.
Wasn't that fun? Did you hear me doing the bum, bum, bum? I just love that. Yeah, can't help
it. Okay. Those old songs are real, they are, nice, weren't they?
They're sweet.
Yeah, I talked to Dr. Nixon about what do you do to keep kidneys in the correct situation in the body.
Ah, kidney health.
Okay. Well, a couple of things. First of all, you need to keep your blood pressure under good control. So high blood pressure does kidney damage. You need to keep your blood sugar well controlled. The higher your insulin levels, the higher your blood sugar, the faster your kidneys go bad. So you don't want to get anywhere near diabetes. You do not want to be a pre-diabetic, which is over 50% of Americans over 50 now. But that high insulin and that insulin resistance damages your kidneys. Keep your weight down. You want your belly to stay flat. No pot bellies. Pot bellies do kidney damage. Okay.
Pot bellies bad.
Pot
there
belly
you go.
Bad.
No.
Well, of course, that's something else. I'm looking at visceral fat.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that the one that you say kills you if you live long enough?
Yep. Everything kills you if you live long enough. But yes, visceral fat.
Is there a chemical or anything that you can take to rid sugar out of the body?
Well, I mean, everything you eat is converted to sugar, to glucose.
Yeah.
And so it's not a matter of ridding sugar. Without glucose, you die in a matter of minutes. It's how much glucose and how much insulin you have to produce to metabolize the glucose. Insulin is a carrier protein for sugar, if you will. You eat, your gut metabolizes absorbs the nutrients, your liver converts it to sugar, the glucose is released into your bloodstream, your pancreas produces the insulin. And the insulin grabs the sugar and carries it into the cells where it can be burned. Okay. Muscle is a high glucose burning tissue. Okay. So you need muscle. You need exercise and working because that lowers your blood sugar dramatically. So you need to eat as little as you really need. You don't need to overeat. For most of us, two meals a day is fine. If we're going to eat three times a day, that last meal should be early enough in the evening that you go to bed with an empty stomach. And mostly it's not so much what you eat as how much of it. But if I'm going to give you diet on what, it's high fiber. Fiber, fiber, fiber. Lots and lots of vegetables, lots of fruit, of raw fruits.
Lots
of high fiber.
High fiber foods. High fiber, yeah. You don't want highly processed foods. You're not after sugars and simple starches, okay? You want food with some chewiness to it, some real fiber to it.
Oh, I see. Well, now, are there things you can take that will help rid the kidneys or get rid of the sugar from the kidneys?
Well, there are things,
you can buy in the market?
No, there's nothing you're going to buy over the counter that's going to do it. The biggest thing you can do, the biggest thing you can do is to buy less food, decrease your calorie intake is the single most effective thing most Americans can do. Move more, eat less.
Okay. I do take the Zorintone, which is supposed to be a kidney support system.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I was told by a doctor that China has come up with using baking soda. Does that make sense?
Well, baking soda will cause a paradoxical acid production. So, yeah, it'll increase acid to some extent. But, you know, baking soda is going to basically neutralize the acid in your stomach. And so you won't be able to absorb B vitamins and positively charged ions as much. So sodium, potassium, magnesium, all these things, you need acid in your stomach to absorb. So you don't want to neutralize your acid too much.
I'm always taking hydrochloric acid anyways.
Okay.
So, I see. Okay, now, I'm thinking of a couple of items I take are alpha-lipoic acid and interface. Does that make sense to you?
Well, alpha-lipoic acid is a useful compound. It does help metabolism in your mitochondria. So, you know, not bad at all. The only thing with alpha-lipoic acid is I always tell people take it at the beginning of a meal so that it doesn't reflux. Because if alpha-lipoic acid refluxes back up your esophagus, it will really burn. You'll think you're going to die.
Oh, because once in a while that happens, but I often think that I'll throw down a pill of hydrochloric acid, and somehow it will stick somewhere down there, and all of a sudden it'll burn. I have to drink water or something. Uh-huh. Anyway, I take care of that. Think of numbers now. What is B9? Is it B9? No. B3, isn't it?
I'm not quite sure what you're trying to get across, sir. I mean, there is a vitamin B3, but
vitamin B3. Is it and baric oil similar?
Not really, no.
Oh, they're the same.
Well, vitamin B3 is niacin. Okay. So niacin or nicotinic acid, that's vitamin B3.
I'm looking for D3, I think.
Oh, D3. Okay.
Ah, okay.
Okay. Vitamin D is naturally made from your skin and sunshine to start with, so which is why we don't have a lot of it here.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. And so your skin contains vitamin D1, which then is converted to vitamin D2, which goes to D3, which then goes to 5-hydroxy. Anyway.
But then is it the same as baric oil? It's not, is it?
No. No, it's not.
Okay. So I was going to take baric oil, and I was just wondering about it.
No, if you're going to take vitamin D3, just buy a bottle of vitamin D3. It's dirt cheap. Doesn't cost much.
No. All right. No.
It's the easiest way to get
true.
It. All right. Okay,
so now,
yes?
If I'm looking at this visceral fat.
Yes.
And the energy I get out and work on and so forth and muscle, build muscles and the like, doesn't it just go on out the door like you've got you're pouring in something on the top of a bottle that's got a broken bottom in it?
Visceral fat will shrink if you get lean, yes. The more muscle you've got and the more you use that muscle, the more calories you'll burn. If you couple that with a modest oral intake, don't overeat, you'll get lean and your visceral fat will go away.
The thing about it, I don't know how much leaner I can get. I only weigh about 120 or something.
You may not have much visceral fat then. So
yes.
I'm 85 years old.
Okay.
But anyways, I guess that's all the questions I think to ask you today.
All right. Thank you, sir, for the call then.
Thank you, Michael.
I do well. Thank you.
Bye-bye, sir.
All right. Oh, so sweet. Your questions answered. We have about 19 minutes left of our show today on Leading Edge Medicine. 888-312-5757 is the number to get through, and our lines are open for you. Let's head to Seattle. We have Ellie with a great question here. Hi there, Ellie. Thank you for calling in.
Hello, Ellie.
Good morning to you and your team.
Yes.
My reason for calling is I was hoping you could help clarify the difference between anxiety and depression, because I see a lot of times that they're often treated with like similar or the same medication. And I listen to your show all the time, and you just seem to be more helpful than me Googling it on my own and coming up with my own.
Yes, Dr. Mixon is awesome. We like him way more than Dr. Google.
Yeah, that's right. Besides, I'm cute. He is. actually, you know, that comes from an old, a veiled insult from my father when I was a child, when I would do something stupid, which I did frequently, by the way.
No.
My father would say, son, it's clear to me that you're cuter than you are smart.
Uh-oh.
What worries me is you're not that cute. So anyway.
Yeah, what does a dad know, right?
That's right.
Right.
Anxiety and depression almost always go together. It is rare to get depression without anxiety or anxiety without some degree of depression. They're kind of sutured together at the hip. It's hard to get rid of one without the other. Mm. So yes, they are often treated together because they usually occur together is all. To some extent, they are diametrically opposed, and yet we often see them at the same time. The anxiety is basically a stress reaction. You feel jittery, worried, bad stuff is going to happen to you. Right. You know, if you were a kid when you were waiting for your test scores to come back and you suspected that it was not going to be a pretty picture, and you're going to have to go home to mom and dad with that really bad test. That was anxiety you felt, all right?
Yeah. I mean, for example, I don't consider myself a depressed person. You know, I'm upbeat, I'm happy, I sleep, I'm fine. But I can go in like a grocery store and suddenly I feel like it's happened after menopause, but I know it's anxiety because it just feels uncomfortable. I need to get out of there as quickly as possible. I mean, I feel like a guy now because I can't go into a store. I want to get out of the store as quickly as possible. So, but I'm not depressed. So that's why it's confusing to me when I've talked to
someone. You have anxiety.
Said, well, we can put you on this ongoing. And I try to follow something natural. I listened to you this morning. You were talking about theanine and all these things that would be helpful on my own rather than take a drug. But I just needed to understand why they would want to put me on an antidepressant to deal with this.
With menopause, which is what you're suffering from.
No. Not the, well, maybe. But
yes.
Just anxiety.
I understand. But anxiety comes from low anabolic hormone load. Almost every... Yes. The anabolic hormones, the testosterone, which was your primary sex hormone when you were young, okay? Not estrogen, testosterone. High testosterone means you tolerate stress well.
I'm 70 now, but I've never taken any hormones or anything after menopause.
Yes, and that's why you're having some problems.
And now I'm all messed up because this is what...
That's right, yes.
No.
That's your problem. The reality is, look, a high testosterone man can tolerate extreme danger without getting anxious or fearful. Okay, we men have super high testosterone when we're young. And
but you yell in the car when you're driving and stuff.
That's right. We do that too. I agree. But here's the difference.
Yes, they do, don't they?
When I was 18, my total testosterone was about 1,200 nanograms per deciliter. Your testosterone was about 85 nanograms per deciliter. Okay, we were very different creatures. Okay, mine was way higher than yours, but yours was high enough that you tolerated stress and anxiety much better than you do now. But as your level has dropped, you don't tolerate stress and anxiety. I don't want to get you up where I was. I want to get you up closer to where you were. Okay? You hear the music. We got to take a little break.
Yes, stay right there, Ellie.
We'll be right back.
Okay? Hang on, Ellie.
I will. Thank you.
We'll be right back with more Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Mixon. Find out more about anxiety and hormone levels and depression and how all that works together. We'll be right back. Stay right there.
The thing I like the most about everything that I've learned from Dr. Mixon is it all makes very logical and intuitive sense. It's not something I really have to wonder, well, I wonder if that's really true. It just, this whole encompassing approach, it always makes a lot of sense to me, and that's really what sold me on the whole package.
Everybody's going out and having fun. I'm just a fool for staying home and having none. I can't get over how she set me free. Oh, lonesome me.
Aww. Guy,
yeah. He needs two or three girlfriends.
Just one is fine. Oh, you're tuned in to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon. Dr. UMAT is off. This weekend, I'm Lynette, and we're talking with Ellie about anxiety, depression, the differences, and how hormones can relate to that.
Yep. Yeah, when you were 20, your testosterone was about 70 to 80, so I say a median of about 75 nanograms per deciliter. Your estrogen was about 25 or 30 nanograms per deciliter. So you actually had 2.5 times more testosterone than estrogen.
Mm.
When I was 20, my testosterone was 1,200 nanograms per deciliter, and my estrogen was 2 or 3.
Wow, a big difference.
We males, we males are the hormonal ones. We, not you girls.
You heard it from the doctor. You know? Yes.
The difference is, and the reason that we don't recognize that is, you guys cycle once a month, and you have the bleeding. When your progesterone levels drop off, you slough the lining of your uterus, and so you have that menstrual bleeding. Getting your uterus ready to maybe you'll get pregnant the next month. We don't have that, and so people think men don't cycle. We do, but we cycle twice a day, not once a month.
Okay.
Oh. We peak our testosterone at sunup and at sundown. We wake up in the morning wanting sex. Okay?
Right.
That's because that's our AM sunrise testosterone peak. Then our levels moderate during the day so we can work with other males and not kill each other.
Not punch them out.
We're still competitive. Makes sense. We're still competitive as hell. And we play mine is bigger than yours all the time. Okay? But our levels are actually down some during the day. Then at sundown, we get our evening peak as the sun is dropping. And that is why when you were a young woman, you would be at the kitchen sink trying to do the dishes and he was standing behind groping you. That was his evening testosterone peak.
Hey, that works both ways. When
every
my hubby's
man
doing
does
dishes.
It.
Yeah. When the hubby is doing any household chores.
Yeah. Well, that's just gratitude on
I
your
know,
part.
Yes.
He'll do something.
That's very sexy, though. Yes.
Yeah. Oh. So, we peak twice a day. You guys peak once a month.
Mm, okay.
But still, it's that cycle. But it was that high anabolic hormone, relatively high, relative to where you are now. Because you were running about 75 when you were 20. I'm going to guess that at 70 or so right now, you're down around 3.
Okay, so that's really helpful. But I have one question. I mean, it might seem like a silly question, but okay. So we have this body, right? And the body takes care of us. And it does what it was going to do, and then at some point, it says, "Okay, well, I'm not going to make this much estrogen anymore or this much testosterone because this is what I do, and this I'm in charge." So why do we put something into our body that our body organically stops doing to, and I'm assuming
way
it
back
wants
when.
To keep us alive and take care of us?
No, it doesn't.
So
it wants to kill
it
you.
It doesn't?
No. Look, here's biology, okay? Forget religion, forget philosophy, forget what you want. Let's go strict biology, okay? Biology, just your body, it has one function, reproduction and survival of the species, not the individual, the species. So the human race continues, right? Now, you grew up, and when you hit adolescence, your hormones went into high gear, and your sex drive peaked at about 16 or 17 years old. You did, maybe you were not sexually active, but it was a struggle if you weren't. Because your body was screaming, sex, 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 get laid.
God,
I want sex. Okay. And that's because you were designed to get pregnant and have your babies in your teens. Now we have invented this thing we now call adolescence, but that's a human invention. Okay. You were mature enough to have babies in your teens, and your body assumes that when you can have babies and when your body wants to have babies, you will have babies. Okay. Now, you then are designed to stay strong and durable long enough to protect your babies until they can have babies. Now, if you had your babies in your teens, when would your kids be able to have babies? When you're in your mid-30s.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, I get it. This is really good.
Yeah.
I get it.
So once you hit the point that your children can have children, you've done your job. As far as the species is concerned, your job now is to get slow, weak, fat, die, get out of the way, and quit consuming resources your children need. The problem with that plan is we don't like it.
We don't like it.
Yeah.
I want to play with my grandkids and
grandkids. Yes, and my great grandkids.
Oh my God, I wish I had this recorded so I could hear it again. Okay, I totally get this now.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Well, so what we do at Longevity is we say, well, that's fine. Mother Nature's plan is Mother Nature's plan. We don't like Mother Nature's plan. We want to stay strong, fast, lean, and smart a lot longer than our 30s and 40s. Okay? Human, do you realize, even here in America, in our first world, do you know what the average lifespan was at 1932 when we started Medicare? Social Security?
I'm guessing 58.
56. You were close.
Wow, very close.
When we started Social Security, the average American died at 56. So we set 65 at the age at which you could start collecting benefits. Because at that time, they figured only about 3% of Americans would live long enough to collect $1.
Mm.
That made Social Security really cheap. Because everybody put a little bit in, and 3% of us live long enough to collect any of it. All right.
Okay. Well, that's a good reason to take hormones so that I can get more Social Security as
yes.
long as possible.
Yes.
That's right.
Here's my problem, of course. I am still at 75, have my levels at a 25-year-old level. I kill my senescent cells so that I still heal and grow and repair. I do intravenous exosomes so that I can run, jump, leap, and cavort at in my mid-70s like I was in my 30s. But that means I'm still working full-time. I'm still paying into Social Security.
Wonderful. And I feel like I full-time too. I just think it's really helpful, though, because it clearly just says, okay, everything doesn't have to be thought of as this organically... organic situation. You can enhance your situation.
You can. And we do it all the time.
Mean that, because they keep trying to tell you take anything, then it's going to cause all kinds of problems because your body's not supposed to take it anymore. It's that I'm done and I don't want it. But you've made it clear that
if you're done,
nature says that, but I don't have to say
precisely.
That.
If you're done, if your goal is to get slow, weak, fat, dumb, crippled up and die, you don't need longevity. But if, on the other hand, you don't like
this
that plan...
This should be a commercial for your
yes, it is. This whole show is a commercial.
It's really opened my eyes. I'm serious. It's really opened my eyes to what you guys obviously can do.
It's what we do for a living.
Well, I won't keep you because I know your show is ending and everything, but I'll definitely be checking in with you guys to get some more information.
All right.
Oh, Ellie, thank
you.
Sounds
wonderful, Ellie.
Thank you. You've been really helpful to me today.
Okay. Take care, my dear.
Oh, bye-bye. Very good. And with 2 minutes left of the show today, we did have an off-air question. It's a quick one, though.
Okay. What is it?
Somebody, they're having trouble finding their vein for blood draws.
Okay.
Oh, boy. What do you do for that?
Well, it's tough. You know, when I started the clinic, I had a girlfriend who was a nurse in a newborn intensive care unit. And she came with me to start the clinic. She could find a vein anywhere. I swear she could get blood out of a hair. But for most people, it's a lot tougher, especially when you're old and your veins are getting small.
Okay.
There is a device. It's a little ultrasound device, a Doppler, that helps you find the veins. It's a little thing you can move across your arm, and it'll point exactly where the vein is.
Okay.
And that helps them to draw blood. So go somewhere where they have one of these devices.
Ask about the Doppler.
Yes. Ask about the venous Doppler for the arm.
Okay. Venous meaning vein.
That's right.
Vein thingy. Doppler
vein
thingy.
Vein-finding thingy.
Yes. Okay. Oh, what a great show. Thank you again for being a part of it. And we will be back live again next week as well for more Leading Edge Medicine. Remember, we would love to have you be a longevity patient. And you can do that by going to our website, lmclinic.com. That's lmclinic.com. Or by calling us up and making an appointment for that free health analysis at 866-86-YOUNG. 866-86-YOUNG. On behalf of Dr. Jerry Mixon, I'm Lynette. We'll see you next week right here on Leading Edge Medicine.